in any relationship, whether it's a friendship or you're dating, it would be foolish to reveal everything about yourself all at once, right at the beginning. And imagine on this first date that you decide you're going to reach down and unzip all your baggage and you dump it all on the person right away because you just want them to know who you are. You would never do that. That's foolish. Why? Because the level that you reveal yourself to another person is meant to increase only as the level of trust increases. Because otherwise, you're revealing yourself entirely to the other person right away. If they don't run, which they probably should do, then they can use that knowledge of you to control you, to manipulate you. Not all knowledge, not having more knowledge all the time. It's not in and of itself always a good thing, more knowledge. There was a reason that the tree in the Garden of Eden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God, in the way he reveals himself to us, it's analogous, it's similar to the way in which we revealed ourselves to each other. But it's also much beyond that. It's much higher than that. God's ways and his thoughts are far beyond our own. God, in divine revelation, sacred scripture, he reveals himself to us slowly. And little by little, he reveals who he is to the culmination of revelation, which is the cross. God revealing that he is love, that he is self-giving love, the culmination of revelation. He works the same way in your life as well. God reveals himself to you little by little and at the right moments. And when we're in right relationship with God in this way, when we encounter him, who he truly is working in your life and in this world, the response of our hearts is one of wonder and awe and amazement. That the mystery of God is not that I learn something about him and it becomes less because I know that now, but the more we know of God, the more we recognize how vast and wide and bigger God is than I could have ever imagined. That way I encounter God truly in my life, I'm in awe of how incredibly good God is, of how amazing truly his providence is. But if I have the mindset that I know God, I learned about him in Catholic school, my parents taught me about him all the time when I was younger, that I know God and I can control him because I know exactly how he fits into my life. I know his place in this world, how he works. We completely invert the true relationship of creator and creation, of God and ourselves. That instead of being in the image of God, we simply create God who is in our own image. Instead of seeing God and what he's done and working in my life as a part in some mysterious way of his divine providence, I see God as simply fitting into my life in different ways. And when that happens, when our hearts become disfigured and small, God has to shatter them. He has to break them. And he has to do this in order to reshape them and refigure them into his own image. And so what is Jesus doing in this parable? He tells his disciples this parable. Do you think there was any surprise that the disciples, after he tells it, are a little disturbed? They're like, what? What? Really? That they're a little, like, uneasy about it? Jesus is revealing in this parable both who God is, that the landowner is God the Father, and it tells us more about him than even the workers, in the same way that the parable of the prodigal son, what it mainly reveals to us is something about the Father. It's revealing something deep about who God is, and Jesus is also revealing our own hearts to ourselves. That in the response that I have to this, he reveals to me where my heart is at. The size of my heart, the shape of it, what image that is in it. There was a biblical scholar, Ken Baker, who went and he lived for a great portion of his life in the Holy Land. You know, he's this American dude. American name as you can get, Ken Baker. And so he went and lived for years in the Holy Land as a biblical scholar to be able to immerse himself in the Semitic culture and in the people and in the way their minds work and in their language, more than just, you know, going a little 3-month sabbatical and mostly visiting the tourist sites. And in his biblical commentary, he points out a couple things in this parable and also asks some insightful questions. One of the things he points out is that in the Middle East, still today as it was then, the way that a lot of people found work is they would come into the marketplace, as you see in different areas of our own country too. People will come into the Home Depot parking lot early in the morning, those who are looking for work. And those who have the work come with their trucks and they pick out, I need 7 workers today. You look strong. You worked for me before. You're trustworthy. And they pick out the people they need and they go off to work, have some money to be able to provide for their family that day. And the others wait there until someone else comes and they try and get chosen for the work. And he points out that the workers are standing there waiting for someone to hire them. And that it would be very strange, actually, that the actual landowner who has an operation big enough for this many workers, it would be very strange that he would be the one coming to pick up the workers instead of just sending his foreman who paid them to do it. But instead, it shows God the Father who is coming back again and again and again, 5 stinking times, to bring the workers into his vineyard. Why doesn't he just bring them all at once? Because clearly he has the work that's needed. We don't know. But it's revealing something of God's deep goodness, though, as well. And lastly, if this landowner wanted to keep from having to deal with this headache at the end of the day, why didn't he just tell his foreman to pay the first workers who came first? Most likely, they would simply just take their payment and be on their way. But if you wanted to guarantee that you're going to have some disgruntled workers and have to deal with it, have those ones who came first get paid last, as he instructs his foreman to do. Because he needed to break something. Kenneth Baker takes his commentary on this parable and he summarizes the whole thing into a paragraph, which is a paraphrase of the landowner's response to the disgruntled workers. He says, and this is the landowner speaking to the workers who are angry, You have no complaint. Justice was served. You got what I promised to pay you. So you worked throughout the heat of the day. That's fine. And what do you think I was doing during the heat of the day? Do you think I was off enjoying a traditional siesta? No. I was on the road constantly, to and from the market, trying to demonstrate compassion to others who, like you, are in need of employment. I could have sent my manager to do this, but I didn't. I went myself to demonstrate solidarity with the men and help alleviate their suffering. So why are you jealous at them and angry at me? You must understand that I am not only just, but also merciful and compassionate, because mercy and compassion are part of justice. Have you never read the servant songs of Isaiah? On what basis should the grace I show others irritate you? It does not appear that you care whether they can preserve their self-worth or feed their families. You want to take more for yourselves. I have chosen to give more of myself. You want to be richer at the end of the day, but I have chosen to be poorer at the end of the day. Do not try to control me. You clearly do not understand who I am, nor the generosity I have shown. Take your wage and leave. God reveals to us in our fallenness the smallness of our hearts that are disfigured and selfish. And he reveals who God is in the one who chooses to become poor, so that our hearts, in receiving from him, might become like his, which are not small and petty, but vast and magnanimous and great.